This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com. Everybody
get on your feet. It's a true honor to welcome back to this program Bob McDonnell. He joins us not as the Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Virginia, but as our newest governor. Congratulations, Governor. It's a great thrill to welcome you back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Coy. I really enjoyed speaking to your listeners in Central Virginia on a regular basis, and I really appreciate you having me back on.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to it. Let's begin with the big news, actually, just breaking today. Got a press release from your office. You went into office proposing that we reevaluate some of the speed limits in some of the more rural and less populous areas in Virginia, and just today that has passed both the House and the Senate. Give us the details, if you can.
Well, most states, in fact, 32 of them have a 70-mile-an-hour speed limit or greater, some 75, a couple of them 80, and our evaluation showed that there's virtually no difference in public safety between a 65-mile-an-hour and 70-mile-an-hour speed limit, and it's just one more way to get people moving a little more quickly. So, yes, we proposed that as part of our overall series of transportation reforms. Delighted the House and Senate have agreed to that, and we look forward to putting it in effect July 1st.
Now, just as a tangent here, I'm assuming there's nothing your office can do about the weather, but are you as tired of the snow as we are here in Charlottesville?
Well, I love snow, as do my five children. It gives us a unique opportunity to do some things here that we wouldn't normally do, but I've had two major snowstorms in a month. And there's obviously, as you pointed out at the top of your show, there's major events possible this weekend. The big impact for Virginia, in addition to the traffic safety issues, is the expense of snow removal, which is in the tens of millions of dollars every time we have one of these events. So it's creating an additional impact on the budget. But I know the young people always like having another day or two off of school.
Yeah, absolutely. My kids are loving it. So let me ask you about the budget. This, is, of course, is a big budget year for the Virginia General Assembly. Give us your approach to the budget. I know you had announced that you wouldn't be, you were going to sort of break with tradition and do something a little bit differently. What's going on with that?
This is clearly the biggest challenge facing our state right now. About 48 other states are having significant budget problems and having to manage in the red ink with major deficits. We have about a $4 billion budget deficit, which is the largest deficit that's faced any governor in modern history. And we've got Governor Kane has announced $2 billion in cuts in his introduced budget, and I will have to work with the General Assembly to help fashion another $2 billion in cuts. That's after $7 billion already being cut. So it is a tremendous challenge, and there's no way to do it without some significant short-term pain in the education budget, the health budget, some state employee budget issues. And so I am working with the General Assembly members. I've met with House and Senate Republican and Democrat leaders, with the budget conferees. We provided them some information already on some recommendations. We'll continue to provide them ideas on how they might balance the budget. But it is a significant challenge in the short run to come up with the ideas that will get things done. Long term, I have already signed Executive Order Number 2, which is creates a task force under my direction to look at ways to reorganize major parts of Virginia government to save money, make us more efficient, cut spending, consolidate agencies, privatize things, look at ways to do things better. And we're going to get right to that very soon. The problem is that's not going to generate the recommendations and the savings in the short term. So I am going to identify as many good ideas for savings in the near term to assist the General Assembly with their job, but they've had Governor Kane's budget now for 6 weeks, and I know they're working on doing the best they can with that introduced budget.
We're talking with Governor Bob McDonnell of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Honored to have him on the program, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you've got a question or a comment for Governor McDonnell, I'm sure he would love to hear from you. It's 977-1070. Governor, you mentioned that there's really no way to make these cuts that have to be made. given the budget that we're looking at and the shortfall that Virginia is faced with. There's just no way to do it without upsetting somebody, is there?
No, there really isn't. And I know, listen, there are so many great things that we do in Virginia in addition to the core services of government, transportation, education, and so forth. But there are any number of private sector programs that we support. There are many, many individual programs in the healthcare area, mental health, child protection area that we support. There are any number of programs that have been started over the years that now may have to be cut back. And it is very difficult. I've been working most of the last 2 weeks on plotting through every line item in the budget, the governor's amendments, looking at new ideas on how we can do things a little bit better. But at the end of the day, every budget item has some constituency, has some real Virginian that benefits from a service. And I know that any suggestions I make and all the things the General Assembly does will cause some hardship, if not outright pain or sacrifice by a Virginian. And it's very tough to do, which is my top goal is job creation and economic development. Even though we're in a tough budget time, I've asked the General Assembly to invest $50 million a year in economic development, tax rate or tax incentives for me to use to be able to recruit new jobs and new businesses to Virginia. If we're going to come back next year at the budget time and have a much better picture, I've got to have the tools to be able to compete better with neighboring states and foreign countries, and have got to have the wherewithal to be able to attract new jobs and create the environment where small business people can thrive and grow. So I want to plant the seed and corn right now for a better fiscal climate in the future. But in the short run, there's no way to do this without some very tough decisions and some pain by our citizens.
We're talking with Governor Bob McDonnell. Honored to have him on the program. You mentioned transportation. Tell us your thinking and, you know, if you can, some of the conversations I'm sure you've already had about what can and can't be done, and take us in a little bit on your vision for how you approach this. It's a tough nut to crack.
It is, given the fact that there's been some success, but mostly disagreements about transportation funding for several years. I announced during the campaign about 12 different ideas on how to improve funding for transportation. The challenges, of course, are even that much more severe when we have a $4 billion budget deficit to find new monies for transportation. And our ideas really are a package of things from using general funds, public-private partnerships, revenues from offshore drilling, selling ABC stores, additional bond issues, a number of things altogether to try to generate the billion or so dollars of additional resources I think we need in Virginia. I'm delighted to say today that we've crossed the first step with the future uses of offshore drilling royalties and proceeds to be used for transportation. A bill was reported out of the Senate committee that directs revenues from offshore drilling to be used for alternative energy and actually for general fund purposes, but we certainly hope to see that amended to include transportation. So that's one aspect of it, but long term, obviously we open the rest stops. We have about $500 million in bonds we hope to issue in the next couple of months that were authorized back in 2007 that haven't been issued. That will help. We are working very aggressively right now to dramatically improve and retool our public-private partnership law and our current procedures at VDOT so we can get some of these important road structures put in place as soon as possible. It will involve some tolling of revenues, but those can be done electronically. And then as soon as the economy begins to recover, I hope to have a request to the General Assembly to put significant new monies into transportation. So we're going to proceed incrementally, but I know this is a absolutely critical task for Virginia government if we're going to continue to have a great place to do business and a great quality of life. Roads have got to get better.
We're talking with Bob McDonnell. He is the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. You mentioned offshore drilling. Can you give us the update on that, the very latest?
Sure.
Is there some federal order that says we can't do it, or can we do it?
No, it's just the opposite, and that's why I'm pushing it. In 2000 and 2008, the president lifted the moratorium on offshore drilling on the Atlantic coast, and Congress let the moratorium expire that they had in place. So there's no bar. In fact, there is a lease sale for offshore drilling on the Atlantic coast that is scheduled for 2011. And Virginia is the only state that's in that batch. In other words, we could be the number one state, the first state to do it. I think that's tremendously exciting for Virginia to be able to have that position. You know, they've been drilling in the Gulf of Mexico for 30 years. The environmental issues have largely been resolved. Their technology is so much better, and they're getting about a 37% royalty from the federal government for the resources that they pull out of the ocean. So we think it's a great area of promise for Virginia. The capital investment, the tax revenues, the jobs that'll come with being first is extraordinary. Senator Warner and Senator Webb have now pledged to me and in writing that they want to help. They want Virginia to be in that lease sale in 2011. They sent a letter to the Secretary of the Interior, Salazar, just 2 weeks ago saying that. I've spoken to both senators, and they're anxious to help Virginia to be a leader. The president said positive things about offshore exploration and drilling in a State of the Union speech the other night. So we think between wind and oil and natural gas that offshore resources and offshore exploration and production hold tremendous promise for Virginia. And I've made it a top priority, and I'm going to keep as much heat on the federal regulators to get these permits approved and get these lease sales done as soon as possible, because it'll be great for our state.
We're talking with the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Bob McDonald. Before we let you go, talk a little bit about education and the fate of public education in Virginia, given this budget shortfall and, of course, a lot of local municipalities, cities, and counties scrambling to find money to support their core services, like supporting their local schools. And also on a related subject, what is your vision for school vouchers, or, you know, whatever kind of language we want to use that you have talked about for quite some time, and there's been some folks in the General Assembly that have really pushed for this kind of thing. Might we see some of those options in the next few years?
Getting a young person a world-class education is absolutely critical in every region of the state to give people access to the American dream. And we have overall very good schools in Virginia. There's about 44 localities or local school systems that are schools that are not fully accredited. I think that's got to be reversed, and we want to put turnaround specialists in charge of getting those school systems to work a little bit better. Unfortunately, that this budget cycle, public education is going to experience some reductions. My goal is to have it so almost focused as much as possible on reductions in non-instructional spending, that is, outside of the classroom. My goal overall, as I said during the campaign, is to have 65% of every dollar we spend on education go into the classroom. Right now it's only 61%. That's about a $500 million transfer over the next 4 years we'd like to make to the classroom for teachers, for computers, for instructional materials. So education is going to be a top priority for me, finding new ways to use everything from virtual schools to tablets and other types of computers that read like a book, like the Kindle and things like that, to get our education systems up to par. But when it comes to choices in education, I do think that helps. And what I am pushing right now are charter schools. You've got two of the four charter schools in Virginia are actually in your listening area, in Charlottesville and Albemarle, and we're really proud of those schools, how well they have done. But we've got the worst laws in the country. So my goal this session is to change those laws to make it easier to get charter schools approved. The president, President Obama, is a tremendous supporter of charter schools. In fact, has created about a $4.5 billion state block grant available for charter schools. Governor Kane and I submitted that application a couple weeks ago for $350 million for Virginia. This would be a tremendous new influx of money to use for these alternatives, which will help children and their parents make some choices. And so those are some of the things. I think we need to focus more on science, technology, engineering, math, and healthcare in these in our schools to make it easier for young people to capture the vision and get the skills they need to find the good-paying jobs of tomorrow. So we want to put a very strong focus on this. I'm delighted that the president is so interested in school reform, and this is a big thing we're pushing for this session.
Bob McDonnell is the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. I want to thank you for joining us, Governor, and your Republican response to the State of the Union sounded mighty good. It was a neat thing seeing y'all in the down in the chamber there at the General Assembly building. It was sort of new and different.
Hey, well, it's a great honor for me. I really appreciate him giving me a few minutes in the limelight. You know, the Governor Kane gave it a couple years ago, as did Senator Webb. So three out of the last five have been Virginians, and I was delighted to have that privilege for my party. But look, Corey, you're always great to have me on. I look forward to coming back on many times and talking to your listeners and Albemarle and Charlottesville and Nelson and Greene and surrounding counties, and appreciate the good work you do.
Take care. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.